shilas about in Yoni Chanukah, we have to light in the dormitories and at home, and people are guests at different places. I thought we'd spend a few moments today, right before Chanukah, talking about some of the halachas of Neiros Chanukah. We all know the Gemara on Shabbos and Achaf Aleph on the base, the beginning of the second parak, outlines the basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. You know, the mitzvah is to be menicha al tefach hasamach lepesach mibachutz. That's the ikar mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. B'shas ha-sakona, menicha al shulchan avedayo, if there's a sakona, then you don't have to light the Ner Chanukah outside to be mefarsim for the passers-by, but rather you light the Ner Chanukah inside. But the best way to fulfill the mitzvah, and many poskim say b'zman hazeh, that there's no sakana baruch Hashem, there's no persecution, that if we light the Neiros Chanukah on the outside, no one's going to beat us up, no one's going to make it difficult for us. So many poskim hold that the halacha reverts back to the ikar takana, that one should light outside if at all possible. So the ikar mitzvah is to light al pesach besa, right? Samach le pesach besa. Tosis in Shabbos points out, let's say the bias is not along the Rishus HaRabim. Let's say you have Batin emptying into Chatzeros, and then Rishus HaRabim is past the Chatzeros. So the mitzvah is to light al Pesach Beiso in the Chotza, right? To light on Pesach HaChotzer. If the bias is emptying into the Chotzer is by the Rishus HaRabim, so the mitzvah is to light on the Rishus HaRabim, right near the Rishus HaRabim, but to light in a private area near the Rishus HaRabim. So if the batim empty into the Chotzer, so Tosfos says you should light on the Pesach of the Chotzer. If the bias is on the Rishus HaRabim, you light on the Pesach of the bias. If the Chotzer is on the Rishus HaRabim, then you light on the Pesach of the Chotzer. We see that the lighting of Neiros Chanukah is supposed to take place mitzuruf to a bias or mitzuruf to a Chotzer. You don't just light in a public area. You light somewhat connected to the private area, but it should be in a place that the passers-by in the Rishus HaRabim should be able to see the light. So the question is, in the dormitories, what do we have? Where's the bias? Where's the chotzer? If you're supposed to light in a bias or in a chotzer, right? Pesach Beiso, Pesach Chotzer. So where's the bias? Where's the chotzer? So presumably, the bias in a dormitory is the dorm room. And what's the chotzer? The chotzer is the hallway. Right? The chotzer is where the bias is emptying into. So the chara, the hallway, each floor, the hallway of the dormitory, that's the chotzer. So the way that we used to do it is we would light outside of the dormitory room. That's in Reuben and Morg, that's how they always used to do it. They put the menorahs on top of the garbage can. Right, you turn the garbage can upside down, put a piece of aluminum foil on the garbage can. It's just above 10 tefachim. It was perfect, and we just put the menorah down there, and you would see, if you came to the dormitory, you'd look in the hallway, see all of the menorahs lit. And then, unfortunately, there was a fire one year, so they did away with that light. They said, it's just too dangerous, you can't have the guards checking everything. I mean, at that time, they didn't have guards. But you can't have anyone checking to make sure that there's no fire hazard. So then they decided that everyone should light in the dormitory in the lobbies. No one should light upstairs by the dormitory rooms, light in the lobbies. The question is, what's the lobby? The lobby is not a bias. Right? You're not sleeping in the lobby, I hope. Right? You're not sleeping in the lobby. Is the lobby a chatzer? If the lobby is not a chatzer, if we assume the only chatzer is the place where the batim are emptying into, so then how can you light Neiros Chanukah in the lobby? That's the shaila. Rabbi Shachter is of the opinion, that the lobbies don't have a din of chatzer. He follows the position of the Chazanish in Hilchas Erevin. Says that a chotzer, that a makom can only be defined as a chotzer if you do tashmishim tznuim in the chotzer. Oh, that's what we're taught, right? Baba Basar. Right? It's only if you do tashmishim tznuim, then it's defined as a chotzer. If you don't hang your laundry there, right? If you're not going to walk around, in shirt sleeves or maybe even less than that, if you're not going to do tashmishim tznuim, not going to do private activities in that area, that's not defined as a chotzer. So since no one hangs their laundry in the lobby, I hope, right? And people are not walking around in their pajamas in the lobby, right? I think so. Hope so. Right? People are not walking, they're not doing private activity. They're not eating in the lobby. I mean, having a meal in the lobby? Maybe a snack, you have a snack, you put a chocolate bar in your mouth, but even that, right? But you're going to sit down to a meal in the lobby? I don't think most people are eating in the lobby. So people are not doing tashmish and tznuim in the lobby, so Zakta Chazanish, that doesn't have a status of a chatzah. Right? Not for Hilchas Erevin and not for Hilchas Chanukah either. It shouldn't have a status of a chotzer b'chlal. If Hilchas Shabbos is not a chotzer, so Hilchas Chanukah is not a chotzer either. So according to the Chazon Ish, you really couldn't light in the lobby. So that's why Rabbi Shechter holds that, you know, there's no way out, right? What are you supposed to do? So he holds people should really go home. Either be mitzdarif to the lighting of your parents at home, or you should actually go home and light at home during Chanukah, because lighting in the lobby is not it's not lighting in the chutzah. So how can you light over there? Some of the Talmidim asked me, what's the din if you light, let's say, in the morgue lounge? Would Rabbi Shechter say lighting in the morgue lounge is better? So I'm not so sure. I didn't ask him, but I'm thinking maybe Hitaka would say that that's better, because I think in the morgue lounge people do eat, right? They do engage in tashmishim. So maybe they don't hang their laundry there just because the washing machines and the dryers are not there. But they do tashmishim. I mean, I don't know how many people hang out in the morgue lounge, but if you do hang out in the morgue lounge, stomach, you're going to eat there too, right? So if you would eat in the morgue lounge, if they would allow you to eat in the morgue lounge. There are microwaves in the morgue lounge, and you know, stomach, there are tables to eat there, no? Aren't there even like tables? There are tables there. So, like, if people would do tashmishim tznuim there in the lounge, so maybe that does have a status of at least a chutz, or maybe even a bias. It's like an extension of your dorm room. It's no different than the mus lounge on the second floor. So I'm not sure. Rabbi Shechter perhaps would say that if you light in the morgue lounge, do they put up places to light in the morgue lounge? Mm-hmm. They do. I'm not sure. You've got to look into that. Even according to Rabbi Shechter.
So move it on the other side from the Sephardi Beit Medrash.
That's not the lounge.
That's the lobby.
That's the lobby, yeah. Right. Do they put in the morgue lounge or only in the lobby? Ah, so if they were to put in the lounge, then maybe Rabbi Shechter would say that that's better, right? And maybe he would say, I think they do put in the mus lounge, right? They put an area to light Neres Chanukah in the mus lounge, right? So the mus lounge actually might be better. There are many Talmidim who told me that they hang out a lot in the mus lounge. And they eat there, they don't hang their laundry there, but people spend a lot of time there. You know, you take off your shoes, you take a nap there, you know, if you're studying hard for an exam and you need a little break, you might take a nap, you might eat a little bit there. So I think the mus lounge might be good according to everyone. It might have a din of a bias, like an extension of your bias, maybe. But the lobbies, Rabbi Shechter felt the lobbies were a problem because they don't have a status of a bias and they don't have a status of a chutzur either, because you're not going to do tashmishim tznuim there. Others disagree. Others claim that maybe for Hilchas Erevin, even for Hilchas Erevin, it might have a status of a chutzur, because maybe you don't have to do tashmishim tznuim to qualify a place, or to classify a place as a chutzur. Maybe as long as you have a bias emptying into this area, and this area empties into Rishus HaRabim, that's called a chutzur. That's what you have, bias in the chutzur into Rishus HaRabim. So since you have that over here, you have the bias emptying into the hallway, then the hallway is emptying here, Rishus HaRabim is emptying, right, this area empties into Rishus HaRabim, so this is like a chutzur. This also is a chutzur. It's a secondary chutzur. So some say that it has a chutzur for all halachas, for Hilchas Shabbos, for Hilchas Chanukah, why not? And others quote from the Brisker Rav, that maybe even if we say Lagabe Hilchas Erevin, it doesn't have a din of a chutzur. Maybe for Hilchas Erevin, Yutaka need to be Osik, Tashmishim, Tznuim, and the chutzur to be called a chutzur. But maybe for Hilchas Chanukah, it's enough to be called a chutzur. Because maybe for Hilchas Chanukah, as long as it's Mitzurav to a bias, and it's a makom of Persume Nisa, it's mitzurf to a bias, and it's a place where people on the outside can see the Neros, so maybe that's enough to be defined as a makom that you can light the Neros Tanaka. So according to either one of these two approaches, either if you assume that it does have a din chatzah, even for Hilchas Shabbos, or even if it doesn't have a din chatzah for Hilchas Shabbos, if Hilchas Chanukah we treat it as a chatzah, because it is a private place, but yet it's mitzurf to the Rishus HaRabim a bit, right? A little bit, and it can serve as a makom of Pirsumei Nisa. So for either one of these two reasons, one would be allowed to light in the lobbies. So that's the approach that other Rosh Yeshiva take. That a lobby, they go against the Chazon Ish. If you don't want to be makom for the Chazon Ish, so then there's room to be makom to light in the lobby. And since it's difficult, it's a shasat chak, we don't want to create a fire over here, so many poskim are willing to be makom that you can light in the lobby. Which lobby are we talking about? So morgue is the best lobby. Morgue is definitely the best lobby. It's the lobby that people use a whole year as a chotzer. You're passing through the lobby to get in and out of the dormitory. There's no question that the morgue lobby is the best lobby. How about Reuben? So the Reuben lobby is a little bit tricky, right? Because there are two ways to get into Reuben. You can get in either on the side of the dormitory or get in through the gym, on the side of the gym. Very often, a person who comes to go to the cafeteria will go to the Max Stern Athletic Center and not go to the right. They'll just go straight. It's a much larger area. And I think that they set up a place to light Neres Chanukah in both, or at least that's what they did in the past, right? Both in the Max Stern Athletic Center and in the Reuben Lobby. So the question is, where should one light? So I think if for someone who lives in Reuben, one should light in the Reuben Lobby. Don't light in the lobby of the gym. I don't know why they set it up there. I make this comment every year, but for some reason, they set up there because they feel like there's not enough room in the Reuben Lobby for the whole dormitory to light. The problem with lighting in the Athletic Center lobby is that that's not really an entranceway into Reuben. It's a way to get to the cafeteria. But if you're going to your dormitory, you would never go that way. It's a different building. It happens to be connected, but it's really a different building, and it's not so clear that that's viewed as the lobby of the Reuben dormitory. So I think it's better to light by the mailboxes. That's the other place that they set it up, right? So I think that's really the entranceway to the Reuben dormitory. Some have asked in the past, should we light in the cafeteria? They used to set up a spot to light in the cafeteria. So I think Rabbi Shechter holds better not to do that, because the cafeteria is not a makom miyuchad for the boys who live in the Reuben dormitory. It's for everyone. And even the passageway through the Max Stern Athletic Center is a more public passageway. It's not just for people in the Reuben dormitory, whereas those who live in the dormitory, they always go to the right. It's much more common for them to go to the right. And certainly the area by the mailboxes, so no one goes to the mailbox unless you live in the Reuben dormitory. So that makom is really miyuchad for the people in the dormitory. So b'chora, that's the best place to light. So what I always recommend is try to get your menorah there early. You can sort of reserve a place in the table there. Reserve a place so that you'll be able to light by the dormitory, by the actual dormitory. And how about mus? So mus is the worst. It might be the best dorm, but it's the worst place to light Neres Chanukah. Maybe, but maybe not. Right, so they set up a place to light Neres Chanukah in the quote-unquote lobby of Mus. What is the lobby of Mus? It's never viewed as a lobby, right? A place outside of the Mus-based Medrash. So what kind of a lobby is that? Do people actually go out through the side door of the building?
Now you have to.
You have to go out through the side
door
of the building?
That's the main entrance door to the dorms now.
You are kidding me. Is that the main, that's the main
COVID.
Entrance and exit?
During COVID, they locked the passageway.
But can you enter that way? Can you enter that way too?
You have to.
Do people enter that way also? Oh, Givaldik! So that's Meredik. So then it's much better. That's much better. So then the lobby of Mus really is the Chatzer into Mus. Lechatchila, you could light this year at least in COVID. You could light lechatchila in that entranceway because there really would be a Chatzer. Maybe it's even better to try to do some tashmish and snuim. Maybe you should try to eat some meals during Chanukah. That's what we used to say. You know, we'd say that even if it's not really an entranceway, it's not an exit, but if you use the area to do tashmish and snuim, so maybe even the Chazan Ish would say that it's viewed as a chatzah. Right? So if you can eat there in that area, you can have like a lunch or have a supper or something, you know, to be koveh that as a makom achila, maybe taka. You could light there in the lobby of Mus. Other Talmidim say that they use the Mus lounge on the second floor. They wanted to know if they could light there. I think they often set up there too. No, are they gonna? So the Mus lounge l'chora l'choladeis you can light because that probably has a din of a bias. Even if you live on the third floor, but if you spend time in the Mus lounge on the second floor, right? I think the Mus lounge second floor is open for anyone in the Mus dormitory. It's not just for people on the second floor. So if you spend time in the Mus lounge on the second floor, so then that's a chelik of your bias. People do a lot. The Talmidim do a lot of studying there. So if you do studying and eat there, you should eat there also. Try to eat something there to establish that as your bias. Makom achila goyim. The achila is very significant. So then you could be kovah that as your makom, and if that's your bias, then certainly in the Mus lounge you'd be able to light the Neres Chanukah. Ari.
Yeah. So
one
maybe in Mafia also building a
Reuben
board. Maybe like during the Chanukah to eat like let's say one meal a day in the lobby just to.
So
make
the problem is in the Reuben lobby, I don't really know that there's a place to eat.
There's like a couch
outside the shul. People do it.
Yeah, I think it's a little obtrusive maybe to be eating there. You know, if the whole shir is going to be eating there, yeah. You know, is going to be eating lunch there, then might create a rumpus.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to work as well. Morg is a bigger area, but again, you got to figure out whether it's permissible to do that in the dormitory. Like, you know, I don't know if one should be koveh mokom. I mean, there's a reason why people normally are not eating in the lobby, because there really is no room, and it's not fair. It's not fair to people to be eating there. It's not your private area. That's exactly the point, right? It's not your private area. That's not called a chutzner, according to some. That's the problem. So I don't know if I would advocate that. I think in Mus is an area where not so many people are walking by. Though actually nowadays it would seem as though a lot of people are walking by, do they? It's a pretty common place to walk by. So if a lot of people are traveling through the Mus lobby, if you will, so then I'm not sure that you should be eating there either. You know, it's not fair to eat there either. If you can chop around, you know, pull over a desk and, you know, eat in that basic area. I don't know if you have to eat, you know, right by the base medrash, but if you can eat in the other lobby, it's sort of one main area, sort of one whole unit. So if you can eat there a little bit, it certainly would be better. Yes?
Does the Kashmishi have to be by a Jew, or could the non-Jews, I mean, in Stranger Hall, we have, they're setting us up in like the very beginning when you walk in, but that's the
by the guards.
Security areas,
right.
Meaning, so there are no Jews.
Don't eat there.
Right. But there are no Jews on the first floor of Stranger, but there are people who are doing things all day, but there's not Jews. The security officers, the security guards are, you know, they have rooms in the back where they're doing things and they eat lunch there and stuff like that, but there's no Jews on the first floor. Does that make a difference?
No, it doesn't, because if you're on the second floor and you come down from the second floor, so you have to pass through the lobby to get out to the...
Right,
the street.
There for us because we're
you're saying if you machmer for the chazanish that you need tashmishim stone to call it a chotzer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're going to be machmer for the chazanish, so then the Stranger Hall lobby is going to be a problem. But it's no different than the other lobbies, right? If you're not going to eat in the Reuben lobby or in the Morg lobby, so it's the same as Stranger. It'd be the same idea. But if you make it for the other shittas, then you'd be able to light there.
So it doesn't make a difference to me. Let's pretend non-Jews do tashmishim there. Meaning, if the security guards eat in that area, but no Jews do.
I don't think it counts. I think it's a function of whether Jews are eating.
Jews.
I think so. Yes. Yes.
So,
question.
Let's say, like, if a toddler were to go home for like some reason at night to light there, would you have to sleep there, eating there, and then coming back later that night would be good enough? Because like that's your house.
It's tricky, right? It's tricky. The dormitory and your home are both batim kavuim of yours. You know, if you go home, if you only go home, you know, once a month, I don't know. But if you're home frequently, so then it could be that your home is also bais kavua. So if you eat there, then that might be enough. Yeah, if you eat there, that might be enough. If you don't eat there, so then it's a question. But if you sleep in the dormitory, but you eat at home. So that's a shaila, whether we say the makom lina garim or makom pito garim. And we pass in makom pito garim, makom achila is the ikar. So as long as both places are equal, if they're both batim kvuim, right, it's not a place that you're being invited to. These really are your homes. You live in the dormitory, you live at home. So if you eat at home that night, then that might be even more of a bais kavua than you'd be able to light at home. So the short answer to your question is yes. If you ate supper at home, you'll be able to eat the light at home, and then you can come back to the dormitory. But if it'll cause bittul Torah, I think there's what to be makel for that you can just light in the dormitory, and that's also a place that you can be out to the next day. Okay, let's move to apartments. And very often the question is asked: can we light in the apartment if I don't live on the ground floor? Do I have to put it in the window? Do I not have to put it in the window? So we know that b'shas ha'zakana minichal shulchanah v'dayo. That even if you can't be mafarsim to the Bnei Rishas Sarabim, but there's still an idea of Pesumei Nisa to the Bnei Habayis, the people who are living in the home. If you can put it in the window, so the Gemara says that you should put it in the chalon. If you can be mafarsim to the Bnei Rishas Sarabim, putting it in the chalon, you're not going to light up Pesach Beis only b'chutz, but you can put it in the chalon, then it's good to do that too. So the question is, when should you put it in the window? So the rule is taller than 20 amos, higher than 20 amos, we don't light an Eros Chanukah, because there is no Pirsumei Nisa taller than 20 amos. Right? Lo Sholta Be'ena, just like a sukkah can't have the schach higher than 20 amos, so too, an Eros Chanukah can't be higher than 20 amos. What is 20 amos? So it's anywhere between 30 feet, right? And amma is anywhere between a foot and a half and 2 feet. So 20 amos is anywhere between 30 feet and 40 feet. So the shaila, if it's the fourth floor, it's higher than 20 amos, or the fifth floor, but if you're still on the third floor, right, the third floor, less than 10 feet, right? So it's like 25 feet, let's say. If you put it on the put it in the window, it'll be 25 feet from the ground. So certainly someone who's on the third floor, who's 20 feet from the ground, if your window faces the street, there are Jews walking in the street, so then it would be appropriate to light in the window, make sure that it's safe. There are no curtains and other things that might catch fire, but one should definitely light in the window. What happens if a person, let's say, lives on the fifth floor, lives on the sixth floor? So is there any point? Maybe you should just light on the shulchan. Is there any point to light in the window? So the answer is, if there's another apartment building opposite you and there are Jews living in that apartment building, then there is a point. Because it's not lamala mei esher mala for them, they can see the Neros Chanukah. So yes, if you're living on the sixth floor and there are Jews on the fifth floor, Jews on the seventh floor, right? If there are people within the 20 amos who could see the Neros Chanukah, then it would be kedai to light the Neros Chanukah in the window to be mefarsim to the people in the apartment building opposite. If the only people in the apartment building opposite are goyim, then there is no inyan. There is no we pass them. There's no persumei nisa by goyim. That's the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion quotes from the Shulchan Giborim. That there's no persumei nisa for goyim. It's only for Jews. So if there are Jews, if there are yidden living in the apartment building opposite, so then there would be an inyan to light in the window to be mefarsim the nes to those other Jews. What's the proper time to light the Neros Chanukah? So the Gemara has the famous statement, the Gemara in Shabbos on Chaf Aleph and Beis, Mitzvasa mishatishka achama ad shetichla regel minashuk. That the mitzvah is mishatishka achama, from shkias achama. Until tichla regel minashuk. Till people stop walking outside. So what does that mean, mishatishka achama? There's a major mahogis in the poskim, whether that means tchila shkia or sof shkia. Do we say mishatishka achama is like shkias achama generally, sunset? Right, tchila shkia, or is it really sof shkia? Does the Gemara really mean to say from tseisa kochavim until tichla regel minashuk? So most poskim assume that it's sof shkia. The Vilna Gaon assumes that it's tchila shkia, and he holds that you bedavka have to light betchila shkia. The Gaon is very machmir. He says that if you don't light betchila shkia and the half an hour passes, this shear of the Gemara, the Rishonim say, is about a half an hour. So that's the shear that we have, that you have this minimum that the candles have to burn for half an hour, even if you're lighting inside, and you're only mefarsim for the B'nai HaBayis, and the B'nai HaBayis saw the Neros, you know, at the time of the lighting. They don't have to stand around the Neros. It doesn't matter. The minimum shear for Neros Chanukah is half an hour. That's what the post can say. So according to the Gaon, you got a light. At Tchila Shkia, you have to light at sunset. The Bali Tosfos point out that Bizman Hazeh, that we light inside, that technically speaking, the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah has changed, and that the persumei nisa is for the Bnei Bayis, not for the Bnei Rishis Rabim. So then it doesn't really matter. You don't have to light at Shkia Sachama. You should light at the time that the Bnei Bayis are there. So the time for lighting Neros Chanukah expands a lot, Bizman Hazeh, because since the persumei nisa, since the audience of the persumei nisa has changed, so then it could be that the Zman for the Hadloka has changed as well. And that's how the Ramah paskins, that Bizman Hazeh, one can light a little bit later than Shkia. If your Persumei Nisa is for B'nai Bayis, so you can wait until the B'nai Bayis come. Even if your Persumei Nisa is for the B'nai Rishis HaRabim, if there'll be more B'nai Rishis HaRabim passing later, you know, sometimes when you light at 5:30, no one's home yet. So they're not passing in the street. Right? If the Jews are going to pass in the street at 6:30, it might be better to light then than to light at 5 o'clock, because it could be no one is going to be around at 5 o'clock. So it's best to try to figure out when the people are going to be passing in the Rishis HaRabim, and light a little bit more than half an hour, so that you'll be able to be mefarsim d'nes appropriately for those passing in the street. There's a further discussion that if you're lighting inside, then the persumei nisa for the B'nai HaBayis, let's say you light very late. Let's say you had to be late and you had to go away to some mesiba or whatever. You're involved in something and you get home late and you're lighting 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night, and everyone is sleeping. I mean, if you live in the dormitory, that's very unlikely. But, you know, if you live in an apartment, it could be that people are going to be sleeping when you get home. So you have to wake up the people. You have to wake up the B'nai Bayis to be mefarsim the nes to them. It's actually a machlokas in the Achronim. The Shaar Tzion paskins from the Chemed Moshe that you don't have to. That lechatchila, once you try to be mefarsim the neis to the Bnei Abayis, but b'di'evet, if the Bnei Abayis are sleeping, there's no chiyuv to wake them up. You're mefarsim the neis to yourself, right? You're one of the Bnei Abayis, so at least you should see the Neros Chanukah. If no one else is awake, at least you'll see the Neros Chanukah, and there'll be a person in Yisrael for you. I heard Rabbi Schechter has paskin in the past that that they should daven Mariv at 5:50 and light Neres Chanukah after 5:50. That's quite a
light
bit after Shkia. To light at 5:50 or to daven Mariv then?
Light at 5:50.
To light at 5:50. No, I thought he said
it. No, so it used to be, every year they try to figure out what makes the most sense, whether that daven Mariv and then light, or just light.
Okay.
So I think this year with Anhala and Rosh Hashanah, they said that light in the door at 5:50, and then, because they know there's a set Mariv later at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So that's what they said this year.
So I think the logic was that since the class ends at 5:45, is that true? There is a class that ends at 5:45? So the logic is that there'll be more Pirsumei Nisa if everyone lights together. I thought Rabbi Schechter felt you should daven Mariv first, because since you'd be davening Mariv at that time after Tzeisak Ochavim, so Kriya Shema is the Raisa then. If you're davening before Tzeisak Ochavim, so then Kriya Shema is not the Raisa. You're not really being Yotze Kriya Shema then. You'll have to repeat the Kriya Shema. But if you're going to daven Mariv after Tzeisak Ochavim, so then Kriya Shema is the Raisa, since lighting Neres Chanukah is only the Rabbanan, so the Kriya Shema comes first. So that's why in past years he passed him that you really should daven Mariv first, that do the Kriya Shema first, but I guess he passed it differently this year. I guess he felt that to have the Barovam Hadras Melech in the lighting of Neres Chanukah, so we should light together. And I guess he's assuming that the Kriya Shema D'Oraisa doesn't have to be done now, since you weren't planning on davening Mariv. Now, you weren't planning on being Yotze in the Mitzvah Kriya Shema now. It's not an issue that, well, I have two mitzvahs in front of me, and one is D'Oraisa, one is more Chomer than the other, so I should do the Chomer one first. The only time that there's a Shaila of Kedima is if you want to do both mitzvahs now. But if there's a 10 o'clock Mariv later and you're planning on davening then, so you weren't going to be Yotze the Mitzvah Kriya Shema now. So you're not going to be Yotze the Mitzvah Kriya Shema now, then you can do the Neres Chanukah now and you'll do Kriya Shema later. Some of that was the Svara that he had. So I think it's best to do that. I think it's really best to do that. There is a comment that the Mishnah Berurah has that people quote. Mishnah Berurah says, one should daven Mariv before lighting Neres Chanukah. So it's like a chok velo yavar. People say, you got to daven Mariv first. L'chor, what the Mishnah Berurah was saying is, if you don't have a minyan kavua later, so then yes, you should daven Mariv first, because there's always a concern that you'll forget to daven Mariv later. But it's not like Mariv has to come before Neres Chanukah. If you have a minyan kavua later, so then you can daven Mariv later. There's no reason if you have to daven the Mariv now. And sometimes Talmidim ask, am I allowed to eat before I light Neres Chanukah? Let's say I'm invited to someone else's home, but I'm going to wait until I get home because I really should light in my bias. Am I allowed to eat? So the answer is that Neres Chanukah is no different than any other mitzvah derabanan, that we're afraid that you might forget to do the mitzvah later. But if you have two shomrim, if you have a shamas to actually remind you to daven, right? If you have two shomrim, then it's certainly okay. It should be okay. So if you set your phone alarm to tell you to remind you to light, then you put like a piece of paper, you put a reminder on your pillow. You know, light Neiros Chanukah, you tell a friend, right? If you have two or three shomrim, so then l'chor, that should be okay. Then you'd be allowed to eat, because then you have reminders, you have shomrim to tell you to light Neiros Chanukah. Yes, Ephraim.
It's publicized in the base medrash that the kolel should not end their seder early to light, rather they should finish the seder and light.
That's an old Meiri.
But in some people have, I guess, less kavua of seder, they're not part of the kolel, but sometimes they have seder. Should they end earlier to finish, or they should also wait till, you know, it's like 6:30 and they won't?
If you don't have a kavua seder, you just happen to be learning.
Right. For people who do have a kavua seder, but not necessarily part of the kolo.
So I think it might be better to light at 5:50.
Right, because the kolo guys are mostly in apartments and married.
That's true. I hear you. I think if someone is stopped learning in the base medrash, so maybe wait until 5:50, and then you could do the hadlaka berovan. No, I think the hadlaka b'pirsumei nisa is probably the best thing to do. I mean, even lighting bizman, when is zman? It's probably like 30, 35 minutes after Shkia. It's not going to be before 5:05 anyway. And, you're probably not going to have as many people lighting. Best to wait until 5:50, then you'll have a whole olam lighting together. They'll light, they'll sing, it'll be lebedik, and I think that's a hidden mitzvah. It's a good idea. Talmidim ask about Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos is a big shaila. Okay, let me just mention this, and then I'll take your question. Matzah Shabbos, what do you do? Let's say you're home. Say you're by your parents, or let's say you've been invited out to someone else's home for Shabbos, and you're coming back to the dormitory, Matzah Shabbos. So what do you do? Let's say you lit Neres Chanukah in the home on Friday night, and then you slept there, and now you're coming back Matzah Shabbos, but you're still there, and they're lighting. So can you light with them, or should you wait till you get back to the dormitory? Like, what's the story? So that's a machlokas in the poskim. There are some poskim who assume that if you had a bayis kavua from before, meaning you slept in that place on Friday night, so that's established as your bayis now until you leave. So it could be that that's viewed as your bayis even now. But it's not so clear that it should be viewed as your bayis. So they say that if you eat a malava malka also, if you have an achila too, so putting the two together, the fact that you slept there the previous night and you're eating tonight, so then that's enough to establish it as a bayis, and you can be yotzei there. Rabbi Willig wanted to say that perhaps not. Perhaps in this case, if you're going back to your bayis kavua, then that trumps everything. Going back to your bayis kavua, even if you slept in the other place and you're eating there tonight, but the sach hakol is not your bayis kavua, it's only a temporary bayis. So even though a temporary bayis can be established as a bayis, but the bayis kavua is certainly going to beat it out. So he felt that it's better to wait until you get back to the dormitory. Whenever the question is getting back to your bayis kavua, let's say a person's married and he lives in an apartment and he's by his parents for Shabbos, right? So you would say, but hey, it's different. My parents, no, but your parents is not your bayis anymore. So even if you're going to eat there, and even if you slept there the previous night, but if you're coming home, even if you get home late, you should light at home. Better to light at home with your wife. Better to light there. Someone's coming back to an apartment, coming back to the dormitory, so it's better to light there. Sometimes people ask. Let's say my wife is working. You know, I'm in the dorm. I'm in the apartment. I'm in college, and I could technically light at 5:30, 5:50. But my wife is in school, or she's working, and she's only going to come home until 6 or 6:15, 6:30. So should I wait for her? It's not really bizman. Maybe I should light bizman. And some of the posts can point out that the Gemara discusses which comes first. Does Ner Shabbos come first, or does Ner Chanukah come first? Let's say you only have money for one. So which do you buy? Do you buy the Ner Chanukah, or do you buy Ner Shabbos with the money? So we pass in Ner Shabbos Adif Mishum Shalom Bayis. The Ner Shabbos trumps the Ner Chanukah because of Shalom Bayis. Some of the poskim say, well, what do you see? You see that Shalom Bayis is a principle that applies to Ner Chanukah, right? That B'makom Shalom Bayis, we will be docha the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah because Shalom Bayis is a more important value. So some of the poskim say, well, look at this situation. If the wife is going to be late, so then Mishum Shalom Bayis, you should wait to light the Neres Chanukah in order to include her in the mitzvah. There'll be more of a Shalom Bayis. She'll feel like you're waiting for her. That you're waiting for, you treat her as being important. So it's probably better to wait based on that principle that Shalom Bayis is a fundamental yesod that we take into account even when it comes to the mitzvah Neres Chanukah. And finally, very important halacha, the rule is that any oil that you have remaining at the end of Chanukah, you have to be osa medura v'sarfa. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to burn the oil. It's the skadish, there's a certain kedusha to that oil. It's not viewed just as tashmishe mitzvah, that could be nizrek, that could be thrown away as long as you don't put it makom bizayon. No, it mamash has like a status of kedusha, so it has to be burnt. But the Shulchan Aruch points out that if you make a t'nai, Mishnah Berurah elaborates there, it's in Tofresh Ayin Zayin, Sukkotin Yud Ches, that if you make a t'nai, that you don't want the oil, if you don't want the leftover oil to be niskadish, then it doesn't become kadosh. Then it just has the status of tashmishe mitzvah. Because it was going to be used for a mitzvah, so then it has the status of tashmishe mitzvah. So you shouldn't throw it up in makom bizayon, but it doesn't have the kedusha then. It doesn't have kedusha. You can put it in a bag or whatever. You put the wicks together, put whatever oil that you have left, you can put it in a plastic bag, and then you can put it in the garbage, and that's fine. But if you don't make a t'nai, so then there's a real problem. You should really have to burn the wicks and burn the oil until everything is really finished. So I always recommend to the Talmidim, before Chanukah begins, Baruch Hashem, we're giving this shiur before Chanukah begins, right? So I always recommend that we should make a t'nai in your head right now, that any oil that remains, any of the wicks, and any oil that remains, you don't want to be niskadesh, and therefore you'll be able to throw it out, put it in a plastic bag. Don't put it in Makom Bizayon, you'll be able to throw it out with the rest of the damage. Afreilich and Chanukah to all.